turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we'll get back into our verse-by-verse study of this little book. And let's pray. Father, as we open Your Word, we thank You for Your Word. May it never become old. May it never become routine. May it never become just another sermon. But we are handling the very words of a great and only God. So give us wisdom. Give us understanding beyond knowing what it says and what You say, but also to know how to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ is coming. And we've said that over and over. And when Christ comes, it will mean one of two things. Either God's retribution or God's refreshment. Now, which one would you rather have? Refreshment or retribution? But it is your choice. And when Christ comes with His holy angels in blazing fire, everyone will see who He is. We are studying 2 Thessalonians, and we'll pick it up with verse 5, chapter 1. All of this refers to what he thanks God for. Their faith that is growing, their love that is increasing, their perseverance and faith in all kinds of persecutions and trials. This is evidence that God's judgment is what? God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and will give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the majesty of His power, on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who believe. This includes you because you believed our testimony about you. Marveled at. Focus in on that word. We use the word amazed. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, marvelous, darling. No one really amazes like Jesus. Just watch this video.
Faithful Father,
Amazing. Verse 10. On the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at, amazed. When Jesus was on earth the first time in human flesh, He did a lot of amazing things. And granted, that all those passages of Scripture in the video, different words for amazement. I want us to focus on the one in verse 10. Amazing. It's amazing to me that as you watch that video, one of the amazing things is that they portray Jesus, who was in flesh, as a brown-eyed Jew with blue eyes. That's amazing. But in this passage of Scripture which we read, Christ is coming with His angels, and everyone will see Him as He is. And it will be amazing. We think of Jesus on earth the first time, and He did some amazing things. But we haven't seen anything yet. When He comes with His blazing fire with His angels. So we looked at a couple of weeks ago what that means to the unbeliever, the retribution of God. When we think of God's vengeance, God's anger, we need to remember that God doesn't lose control like we do in anger. I mean, have you lost control in your anger? Have you said things you shouldn't say? Have you hit people? Have you, wish I could take that back? God's anger is calm, cool, and collected. It is right, it is just, it is calm. And God has given unbelievers plenty of warning. You can't say, well, I didn't know. So why God's retribution? Look again at verse 6. God is just. God is fair. It is fitting. It is proper that God give vengeance, punishment, to those who reject Him. You have no ground to stand on and say, that's not fair, God. God has given you warning. What happens to sinners? What does every sinner deserve? The wrath of God, punishment. How many of you can say, no, not me. I deserve heaven. I deserve grace. No. In fact, if you think you deserve grace, then it's not grace because it means undeserved. It is fitting. It is proper. Who? Verse 6, He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who give you grief. To those, and then look at verse 8, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our God. And it's pretty plain there. It is fitting. You don't believe in God. You have no relationship with God. You don't accept His salvation, His free gift, grace, the gospel. Those are the people that are going to be punished. How are they going to be punished? Everlasting destruction. How long is everlasting? When does everlasting end? Never ends. Destruction, it doesn't mean you don't cease to exist, but ruin. A complete forever of worthlessness. Whoa, Nelly. That's pretty everlasting. How bad? There's no words to describe it. You know, separated from God, from the majesty of His power. What makes hell hell is God's not there. Complete separated from everything good. You say, well, I'm going to hell, but at least my buddies are going. You won't see them. You won't be with them. Complete loneliness, complete ruin. Well, at least we'll party in hell. Yeah, I don't think so. There's nothing good about hell. So I left you 2 weeks ago with an assignment as we looked at God's vengeance. Do you remember what that was? We've slept since then, so let me remind you. One is, make sure you're a believer. Make sure you are in Christ. Make sure you're not going to receive God's retribution that you deserve, that you're in Christ. And second, what was the second assignment? Tell others. Tell others. Don't have this attitude, well, God's going to pay them back. Good, get them, God. No, it ought to break our hearts. You know people. You are related to people. You live next door to people that are going to hell. It ought to break our heart. Well, let's go to the good news. All in favor? Want to go to the good news? Good news is relief. Look at verse 6. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. And verse 7, give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And verse 10, on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people, to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes who? Us. This includes you because you believed our testimony. not only is Christ coming and will bring retribution on unbelievers, but be excited about this, He will bring relief to you who are in Christ. Don't you want some relief? The word relief there in Greek, I just tell you this because not because I want to impress you, because it's easy to remember. It's the word anasis. A-N-A-S-I-A-N-A-S-I-A, or anasis. Now, what do you think of? When I'm in my weird thinking, I think of anacin. Anacin. The doctor says, take two of these and call me in the morning. When you take some anacin, you have an ache, you have a pain, and your wife says, well, have you taken anything? What does she mean? What have you taken anything? You want some? Relief. Some anacin. The idea behind that word, God will give relief, is relaxation. Just relax a bit. Just give me a visual image of relaxation. Now you look a little tense. Come on. It's the idea of relaxation, of looseness, of freedom, of refreshment, of restoration. Rest. Don't you want some rest? The Bible promises two kinds of rest to God's people. First is the rest that salvation brings. You go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't you want some rest? Aren't you tired? You're worn out, but what is this rest referring to? Does that mean you don't have any trouble in life? No, you have trouble in life. But don't you find in Christ rest from the crushing burden of your sin? Isn't that just, you're free from that. You're loose from that in Christ. But there's a different kind of rest. Hebrews chapter 10. And once you find Hebrews chapter 10, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I wrote these notes like 2 weeks ago, so help the boy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Not only does Christ offer you rest today, but he offers you eternal rest in heaven. When you die, you are resting forever. That doesn't mean you're going to be taking a nap forever. But you are resting forever from what? From your sin. And not only from sin, but the temptation to sin. Doesn't that just wear you out? From trials, from sorrow, from any form of suffering. How many want to go to such a place? Only half of you? You find rest in salvation, but you also find eternal rest. That's why we love to read Revelation 21, verse 4 at funerals. You know what it says? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, as you go back to our text, let's ask the question, this relief, the same questions we ask about God's punishment. Why does God give relief? We'll go back to verse 6. God is what? Just. God is just. God is fair. And is it fair that those who reject God receive His punishment? Is that fair? Your kids often say to you, that's not fair. Yes, it is fair. If you break my rules, you deserve the punishment. You've been warned and you're going to receive the punishment. Isn't that fair? But just as fair as that is, isn't it fair that God give relief to you? God give relief, refreshment to those who accept Him. See, God's justice demands retribution for the unbeliever, and so God's fairness also demands relief for those that accept Him, those that have a relationship with Him, those who obey the gospel. 1 John 1:9. We know we love that verse. He is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He will do what? Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why is that fair? That's a good question. Because Christ has paid the penalty. Because you are in Christ. Jesus paid for your sin. He suffered in your place. And so justice has been taken care of. Justice has been reconciled. His judgment was on Christ instead of you. Now you ought to look a little excited about that. That's good news, isn't it? His judgment has taken place. 1 Peter 2:24. By His what are we healed? By His stripes, King James Version. The other versions say, by His wounds we are healed. That doesn't mean that because Christ died, He came to take care of your hangnail or your headache or your cancer. He can do that if He wants to, but that's not what it's referring to. He suffered in your place to take care of the wounds of your sin. What does 2 Corinthians 5:21 say? Well, let's look at it then. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Would you let that sink in a moment? God has this deal for you. You can receive My judgment, My vengeance, which you deserve, if you refuse the gospel, if you refuse Christ. You can receive judgment. You want that? Hello, anybody here? No. Or, I tell you what, Christ will take the punishment in your place and you can receive His righteousness. What a deal. What a deal. What a deal. The penalty of sin has been paid for. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have any difficulties in life. Look again at verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who did what to you? Troubled you. So you're going to have trouble. There's plenty of scripture that you have trials, you have afflictions. But we're talking eternity here and eternal rest. Who gets the relief? Let's ask that question. All believers. Everyone who's been troubled. Because you see, all believers will be troubled. All believers are promised you will face trials, persecutions, sorrow. Correct? Is there anyone exempt from that? Anyone who has never received any trial in life, perfect life, you're in la-la land. You're not alive. 2 Timothy 3:12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Acts 14:22, Paul says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, suffering is really a mark of a Christian. Peter said that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. What's a meddler? A busybody. And how many times does He tell us in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, don't be a busybody. Mind your own business. So do you know any meddlers? Any meddlers in the house today? Just so you understand, He puts them in the same category as murderers or thieves and criminals, meddlers. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For it is time of judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, then what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Who, back to our text, who gets the relief? those that have been troubled. Who is going to be troubled? All believers. All believers. Make sure that because you are troubled is because you are a Christian, not because you're just a meddler. Not because you are just obnoxious. I know Christians say, boy, I'm getting a lot of persecution. No, for Christ. No, it's not because of Christ. It's because you're just weird. Obnoxious. Don't suffer for that. A lady called me one time, a lady from our church. She's no longer with us. She was sent to prison. She, federal prison. She violated the law. And she calls me. You know, will you receive a collect call from federal penitentiary? Yes. And she said, I just want you to know that I'm here to be a missionary for God. And I said, no, ma'am, you're there because you broke the law. You can use that for good, but that's not why you're there. Peter says, if you suffer, make sure to speak for the right reason, because you're in Christ. And there's all kinds of suffering. How many of you have suffered in the last week? Physical suffering. All kinds of trials. I mean, just living is a pain, isn't it? Driving to work. I don't know how many times Mr. Bailey has complained about driving on Rio Bravo. Marriage is a pain. I mean, not because it's bad, but relationships are difficult, aren't they? Raising kids are a pain. Being a kid is a pain. Going to work is a pain. Plus persecution for the name of Christ. You have all kinds, back to verse 4, trials and persecutions. The good news is God's going to give you some relief eternally from all of that. Plus the pain of temptation and sin. To those whose faith is not real. Warning here. If your faith is not real, if you are not truly in Christ, you will not survive the trials of life. You will cave in. I didn't make that up. Look at what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, make it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You have received the word of God. What kind of soil are you? Don't let the trials of this life choke it out. Don't let the worries of this life choke it out. Eternal rest. Back to Paul's book, 2 Thessalonians. To those who count the cost of what does it cost to follow Jesus, who are willing to pay the price. In fact, Jesus put it this way, Luke 9:23, anyone who would come after me must take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. Is it worth it? To those that are willing to pay that price of total denial of yourself and grab hold of Christ, eternal rest. There's another question, how? How is God going to punish the unbeliever? Eternal destruction. How is he going to give rest to the believer? Verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, to be marveled at among those who believe. This includes who? You. Because you believed our testimony to you. When Christ comes, when Christ is revealed. Remember, the word revealed here, I told you a couple of weeks ago, is different than
the showing up of Christ. That's a word, parousia, which means when He's right here, when He's right beside you. The example, Grandma's coming. Grandma's coming. Is Grandma here yet? No, she's coming. She's coming. When is Grandma here? When she's right beside you. Is Christ coming? He's coming, He's coming. But is He here, right beside you? Yeah, but not physically. You're not really, right? But the word revealed is the word apocalypse. And we think that's a big, scary word. You know, apocalypse now or the end time. Apocalypse literally just means the revealing. You know there's a statue back here, but He's covered up with a tarp. We know He's coming. We know there's somebody back there. But when Jesus is revealed, the tarp is yanked off. Whoa! There's Jesus! He's revealed. When He is revealed, two things are going to happen. To bring relief to you that are in Christ. Look again. Verse 10. First of all, Christ will be glorified not only in Himself, but in His saints. And who are His saints? That's us. In a way that Christ has never been seen before. We are told over and over, glorify God, glorify God, glorify God. How do you do that? Matthew 5:16. Do your good works so that people will see them and glorify your Father in heaven. But I have to be honest with you. I don't do too well at that. Oh, I try to glorify God, but I do it imperfectly. Don't you? Because I still blow it. I still have sin in my life. And many people, even when I do a good job of glorifying God, some people refuse to believe in Christ. But then, when that tarp is pulled off and we see Christ coming in blazing fire with His glorious angels and with the Christians who've already died, there's Jesus. Everyone will see Him. And everyone will give Him glory. For some, it's going to be too late. Make sure that's not you. Second, He says they will be He will be marveled at. He will be amazed. We get to share in the glory of Christ. Try this on, man. Put this in your pipe and smoke it. This is good stuff. We get to share in the glory of Christ by marveling at Him. You know, we marvel at Christ. We're amazed. Look at what Christ did. He raised the sick. He did miracles. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. We're marveled at that. We're amazed at that. When He comes, when He's revealed, you talk about amazed. You talk about astonished. You talk about marvel at. Look at Christ. Look at that. No one will miss that. And we are standing there with Him. Look at what Christ has done for us. Look, because I'm in Christ, I get to share in all of this. Amazing. You know, we marvel at Christ today. We think He's marvelous. He's wonderful. Christ is great. But you haven't seen anything yet when He's revealed. The word marveled that's used there in verse 10, we get a big fancy English word, thaumatology. And I'm not even sure I pronounced that right. But you know what that word means? It's the study of miracles. When people want to study the miracles of the Bible, they are involved in... What was the word I told you? Huh? Thaumatology. It's a study of miracles. When Jesus performed miracles on earth, what was the response of the people? Whoa! He was accredited by God, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, by miracles, signs, and wonders. What's a sign do? Points to something. When you're driving down the freeway, and we drove 3,500 miles, we see a sign, Albuquerque, 334 miles. You know what we said? We said, isn't that an amazing sign? That is a beautiful sign. I wonder who put that sign. No, it just points to something. What's a wonder? Whoa, I wonder what happened. You know, that girl was dead. Now she's alive. That's a sign pointing to who He is. The people's response was a miracle. When Jesus did miracles, the people were amazed. They were astonished. And when Christ comes, everyone's going to marvel. Look at Christ. Look at Christ. Unless the Thessalonians think that they're left out of all of this, or unless you think, well, that sounds great, but how do I get to be a part of all of this? Go back to verse 10. This includes who? You. Because you believe our testimony to you. It includes you. Because you believed. Because you heard the gospel. Because you responded and obeyed the gospel. And when you believe and put your trust in Christ, and when you obey Christ and are in Christ, listen, you have no fear of the retribution of God, but you have every reason to look forward to the relief, the refreshment that awaits because He's promised. And so let me give you another assignment. Make sure you're in Christ. This is either one or the other. No middle ground. Are you in Christ? Make sure you are in Christ. And second, when you're in Christ, you have a responsibility. Tell others. I told you 2 weeks ago, plenty of empty chairs. We got room. You know anybody that's facing the retribution of God? What are you going to do about it? Tell them. Proclaim the good news of God's rest from sin and for eternity. Amazing, amazing Jesus. Amazing, isn't it, that He could care about people like you and me? That He would be willing to take the penalty for your sin. Such amazing grace. Let's pray. Father, You are amazing. And as the song with the video, Your grace still amazes us. May that never become old to us either. Oh, how we look forward to the day when we look to heaven and see Jesus completely revealed. Oh, how marvelous, how amazing. And we get to stand right with Him and marvel at Him. Thank You for Your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.